live righteously.
It is time for another episode of The Cultural Hall. This week it's episode 63, and that's an episode about Mormon websites. So coming up, you're going to hear about some different Mormon websites, where people got the ideas from, why they do it, and yeah. So that's what this episode's about. It's fascinating. Keep listening. Don't be a turd and turn it off now.
A great sell, right?
Wasn't
there.
It not? Yeah. Was it bad?
No, it was great.
I'll tease some of the sites. We're gonna talk to a girl, 14-year-old girl, about her website, The Modesty Club.
Love it.
And we're gonna talk to John is his name, who came up with the LDS Smile. If you've ever seen, he has a huge Facebook page, and also a component of a website where it's all internet memes and things that make you smile.
Funny. Oh,
LDS
great.
Smile.
Love it.
So we'll talk to him about what SMILE means, because you didn't know this, but it's an acronym.
Spear, should I reveal?
You don't know what it is.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
What is it?
Spiritually minded is life eternal.
Oh, now you ruined it.
Well, sorry, you asked me what it was.
All right.
I knew
right
that.
It is. How did you know that?
Because I'm awesome.
How did you know it
really? I don't know. I've heard it once before. It just always kind of stuck. It's kind of my life motto.
But you'll find out how he got it.
Okay.
There. Now you have to find out.
Now I'm teased.
Properly teased.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's kind of exciting. Stay tuned and listen for that episode. Also, follow us on Facebook if you're not already, The Cultural Hall. Follow us on Twitter. Man, Michael is hilarious. He's the guy who tweets for us. Are you following us on Twitter?
I actually don't think that I am.
You should.
I need to be, yeah.
He's very funny. His tweet yesterday was, I'm sure that there's something more embarrassing than singing the singing the wrong verse to a hymn really loud, but I'm not sure what it is right now.
It's when you're working in radio and you say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. When you're working.
Really?
Yeah. Or when you're giving a speech.
You did that?
No, but I heard a radio clip of a reporter in this market in Utah who was giving a traffic report, and at the end of it she said,
yeah,
I say these things.
She was under the influence.
Okay.
Well, I think it was cough syrup, if okay. I remember the story correctly.
Yeah,
because
she
kind of
slurred
out.
Yeah. So there is something that is more embarrassing, but no, that's up there on the list for sure.
So follow us on Twitter. You can follow us on Pinterest. And I'll say ladies, but I know there's gentlemen who do the Pinterest thing too, but a lot of women love the Pinterest.
Yep.
Upcoming episodes of The Cultural Hall. I know next week we're going to be talking with Sheree Call.
Oh, yeah, the singer.
The singer.
Uh-huh.
So she'll be on with us. And then we've got an episode coming up about Masons, Freemasonry. That's a fascinating episode.
Nerd alert.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah, boy, deep nerd alert.
Yeah.
And then some other episodes. If you've got suggestions, you can always suggest them on our Facebook page. Or email me, richie@theculturalhall.com. And I appreciate everyone's feedback on whether or not we should do more episodes a week of The Cultural Hall, and also the length.
What was your feedback on that? Can you share?
Everyone's like, yeah, we really like the twice a week. And everyone's like, yeah, we don't want it any longer than an hour. So we're doing it right.
Yeah, good.
That's good.
I agree.
That was great. That was great feedback to have. But if you happen to own a radio station and would like to employ me as one of your employees, and have me do this little Cultural Hall thing as a full or part-time job, I would welcome that opportunity.
I second that.
Yes.
Yes.
And that would be fun. So what else is going on? Anything?
Not a lot.
Yes.
Things are good.
Yeah.
Living the dream.
Yes.
Yeah.
Really? Things
yeah.
are all right. No kids yet. Let's talk about that.
Okay. There's no kids, but...
But you've been married a couple of years, so you got to get that done soon.
Yeah. We're working on
Otherwise,
it.
Otherwise, people go, oh...
Oh.
Oh, she can't.
No.
Oh, he can't.
Don't judge.
No, but people do that.
But why? That's so awful.
It's our culture.
I know.
And I hate it.
I know. Wait, isn't it your turn to
I've got
kids?
One. He's 14.
Yeah, but.
That's a handful.
Don't you
want. You ever had a teenager?
More kids with your
sure.
wife?
Sure.
So
I do.
When's that happening? You've been married a couple of years.
Yeah. 2 years. Exactly.
Okay.
Almost. Just past 2 years.
All right.
We've talked about that before on the podcast.
Oh, have we?
It's my wife's studying for the CPA right now, so that's the focus.
As is my husband.
Right, but that's not how we know each other.
No.
From the same singles ward back in the day.
Correct.
It just muddies the water. Plus, with a teenage kid, like he's still dealing with the angst of being a teenage kid. That like to have a new sibling would be too much.
Do you want to wait until he gets out, like 18-ish?
No, or? I don't think so.
Okay.
If we're going to have a kid, It'll be in the next 2 years.
Okay.
Otherwise, my wife will be like, ah, I ain't doing this.
And just one? Or
probably.
Okay.
My ideal, have one, adopt one.
Okay.
So two.
Yeah.
So it's like, go play with your brother. Right?
And you want and one adopt. That are kind of close in age, because right. 18 and one.
Yeah,
you know,
is not close.
Yeah.
But my ideal would be whatever the baby that is born, say a girl, that's what I'm hoping for, truthfully.
Yeah.
Then adopt a boy.
Okay.
So it's boy, girl, done.
That's awesome.
Right?
Yeah. That'll be fun.
I don't know.
But life doesn't always work out the way you plan it.
No, it's never. Yeah. Life never works out the way that you want it.
Yeah, so you're having 10 kids.
Right. That I know won't happen.
Over the next 10 years.
There may be no kids.
And that's fine, too.
Right? Thank you. And that's all right, too, because we all make choices.
And we're okay with that,
and
Richie.
You are so precious.
You have a sweet spirit.
You are the nicest. But yeah, I don't know. Whatever. As far as the kid thing goes, people don't ask. That's what's great. When you have a 14-year-old kid, people don't ask, so are you going to have more? I don't have that pressure.
Right.
I feel that pressure myself, but people don't ask.
Right.
Because they're like, oh, he's got one. That's obviously done. And where my wife and I got married before we moved into our ward,
mm-hmm.
Where we currently live, people just assume the kid's mine.
Right.
And so it's like, yeah, we did one and done.
Well, and you call him yours.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's great. I think that's great for him and his.
Yeah, he doesn't call me his.
Well, he's 14.
Yeah.
Why would he?
I keep trying to tell him that. So he'll always come in. This is hilarious. He'll always come in and we'll say prayers. And then he'll say, good night, Mom. Love you. And they'll kiss. And they'll kiss on the lips. And that's a story for a different time. Because
okay.
I think that that's weird, but maybe not. Some people don't think it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I kiss my grandma on the lips. Story for a different time. But then he'll say, love you, to his mom. And I'm right there. And he says, good night, Richie.
Ooh.
And I go, tell me you love me. And he won't. And I'm like, tell me you love me. And I'll shout it down the hall as he's walking to his room.
But you know he does.
Yeah.
He just won't tell you.
Oh, yeah. No, because he's like, no, that's weird. And he'll say that. No, that's weird.
And he's way too cool.
Yeah. But I'm like, no, tell me you love me. And he won't.
That's funny.
I'm like, come on, tell me you love me.
So one day out of the blue, he's just going to be like, Richie, I mean, Dad.
Yeah.
I love you. And it's going to be this moment and the music's going to come and it's going to be like from the movies.
Well, here's the interesting development of this. And I've mentioned this only briefly on the podcast, but this year for either my birthday or Father's Day, he gave me a hug.
Oh.
Because he didn't give me anything else, which was fine. I don't, you know, he's a 14-year-old kid. What is he going to get me that I really want? Right. Hey, I made you this macaroni thing. Great. That's going in the garbage. But
macaroni necklace.
Yeah, here's a macaroni rainbow. I made that for you. So he gave me a hug, and I went, "That's the nicest thing in the world." Because he's not a super affectionate kid anyway. At least not with dudes, because that's gay.
Totally.
And but he gave me a hug,
and he meant it.
And he meant it.
Yeah.
And I was like, "Yeah, that's right. My kid gave me a hug." That's right. I'm a dad.
You Facebooked about it.
I think I did, actually. So, yeah, it's coming along.
Yeah. So my mom, this is kind of switching gears a little bit. My mom asked that she not be called grandma once I have kids.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't like the word grandma.
Oh, because it's old.
Yeah.
It means you're old. So what does she want to be called?
She doesn't know yet.
Nana?
I know.
No?
I don't know.
Mommy part two?
I guess.
Mommy 2.0? Mommy dose? That's funny.
Mommy duh?
Mommy did. No, Mama Dose. Yeah,
Mama Dose.
Mommy Dose.
Yeah, she did. She could come up with a better one. And I was like, how about we just wait until we have the kids and we see how, like, they say it. You know how some kids can't pronounce grandma, so they're like, Mama or Grandma or whatever they say.
Mm-hmm.
That was not a very good kid.
Yeah, your poor kids. Grandma.
Maybe they can't pronounce it. I don't know. So, yeah, I just like, why don't we just wait and see before we pick the names here. So
just be ready. There's nothing tougher in the world than kids.
Yeah, she's jumping the gun a little bit.
In the world than kids.
Stress.
And teach them to make mistakes and be okay with mistakes as early as possible.
Yeah.
This is me, soapbox.
Okay.
But now everything with the kid, we're trying to let him kind of be a man a little bit, which means he is allowed to make mistakes, he hasn't killed anyone and he's not looking at pornography and all this stuff. I'm not saying that my kid's a bad kid at all. He's actually a really good kid.
Right.
But allow them to make mistakes, as hard as that is. Otherwise, it's like, we got to protect him in this thing.
Yeah. And
gotta
then be there when he falls.
Right.
Yeah,
I
agree.
And point it out and rub it in. See, I told you.
I told you not to bang your head against that wall. It hurts.
Idiot. But allow kids to make mistakes. That's the biggest thing I've learned.
That is very good advice, because there's a lot of parents, and I am obviously not one, but you know, the guilt trip thing and the
doesn't work.
You will do this or else
doesn't
the threats,
work.
Yeah.
It really is. It's been an interesting lesson in the whole idea of agency, like they teach you within the church,
mm-hmm.
where it's like choose, because we can keep him from doing things wrong, but only while we're around.
Right. And so, then he's going to go explore that stuff anyways.
Right. So it's been hard, tough, challenging to be like, hey, here's why you don't want to do this.
Yeah.
Don't do it. We're telling you not to. And here's why.
Yeah, that's got to be one of the hardest things to let them.
And then when, you know, they do it anyway, it's like, no!
Come on! Yeah.
But it's kind of an interesting look at how it must be with Heavenly Father, where he's like, hey, I told you.
Yeah.
I'm trying to teach you why not. Okay.
All right, fine.
Go ahead then.
I got burned. Man.
All right, so coming up, second and third block, it's websites, LDS websites. Check it out.
Are you looking for meaningful Christmas gifts for your friends and family? LDSBookstore.com is your one-stop shop for everything LDS. We carry quality products for all ages, including beautiful framed art, inspiring books, fun accessories, inviting home decor, and more. Give a gift this year that is truly one of a kind with our affordable customization options like ring engraving, scripture embossing, and even custom temple art. We make shopping online simple, hassle-free, and easy on your wallet. Your order will be handled with care, and you'll love our friendly customer service. Do all your Christmas shopping this year at LDSBookstore.com and use coupon code RADIO to get free shipping. That's LDSBookstore.com and use coupon code RADIO for free shipping.
That's right. It's a special episode of the Cultural Hall here, where we're visiting with different Mormon folk who do different websites. There's a lot of Mormon websites out there, and I wanted to feature some of them that I like to visit, and some that are maybe new on the scene, just to kind of give you guys a heads up as to what they were. And so right now on the phone with me is John Huntinghouse, and he is responsible, he and his wife, I should say, I don't want to exclude her, are responsible for LDS Smile. And you may have checked that out. You can find him on Facebook. Thanks for joining with me, John.
Hey, no problem.
So it's LDSSmile.com, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then you find it on Facebook by searching LDS Smile. Tell us a little bit about what people can find there and what you're all about.
Well, it's kind of a hodgepodge of pretty much everything kind of under the sun. We, you know, we just like to go ahead and post a lot of, you know, LDS humor. We like to post a lot of motivational and inspirational spiritual quotes and posts on there also. But there's also a lot of just random funny things on there too. You know, if we come across a post or a story or something that we find kind of interesting or funny, you know, we go ahead and put that up there. So kind of a large tent of stuff that we post on there.
Where did you get the idea for this website or this Facebook page?
Well, we've always kind of wanted to do some kind of LDS-related fan page and website. But the inspiration actually came from the teaching styles of my mission president when I was on my mission. And he would, you know, the way he taught is, you know, he'd be extremely funny and extremely silly and humorous. And then all of a sudden, you know, he'd go really deep and spiritual. And then he'd go right back to being funny. And we called it a switch on our mission because he would just switch back and forth. And he did it so well. And so that was kind of like the inspiration that we thought that would be kind of a neat idea. Instead of just focusing on just one area, kind of, you know, doing both, trying to post funny and humorous posts on there, but also at the same time, you know, providing some of the inspirational and maybe some spiritual and motivational stuff on there also.
Where was it you served your mission?
Taejin, Korea, South Korea.
Jeez, that's a lot like Utah, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's exactly the same, you know, they all, yeah, they're a lot of similarities, pretty much none, but I mean, you know.
So you had this mission president who taught you, you know, I love that phrase, the switch.
Yeah.
But then was it, you know, what was it that made you start doing the website then, though? Because you had that kind of foundation. It was like, oh, we want to do this. What was finally the thing that you went, this is how we do it, and this is what we're going
to
do?
I've always liked to, you know, work with the youth. And both me and my wife, you know, we like associating with and, you know, serving with the youth of the church. And so we were trying to think of something that might catch their attention, you know. And so we didn't want to go, you know, overly deep into LDS doctrinal philosophies or kind of that route. We wanted to do something that was a little bit more lighthearted and maybe something that would appeal more to, you know, the younger generation and the youth of the church, and to kind of bring them, bring a website that might be entertaining and fun, while at the same time, you know, kind of inspirational and spiritual at the same time. So and so when we were thinking about that, that's kind of when we thought, well, you know, there's a lot of websites out there that, you know, kind of post these random funny posts and stories and stuff like that. And so we just kind of went with that, and, you know, it just kind of went from there.
And for a little while, you guys had a podcast, is that right?
Yeah, we started off with the podcast at the very beginning. But we, just because of time constraints, and, you know, I'm doing a master's program up at the U, so we just kind of ran out of time with doing that. And so that kind of fell short. You know, our goal would be, we'd like to start up a podcast again, but for the time being, it's kind of just kind of focused on the website right now.
Yeah, well, John, we've got the podcast part taken care of.
There you go.
Is it a hope to be able to make money off it? Is that just a great little bonus, or where does that play into it for you guys?
In terms of just the website?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, my focus, you know, I still have my career focus in terms of, you know, going to school and working in the healthcare field. But, I mean, this is just something that's kind of been on the side. You know, it's just something that we've always wanted to do more as a hobby, more or less. And so I think, you know, that's kind of the goal and the aim overall. So,
are there things that you won't post?
Yeah. I mean, we try to, I mean, you know, we try to stay in line in terms of LDS standards and stuff like that. But, you know, something that we've found out is that standard is, it's dependent upon the person. So mm-hmm. Some of the things that we post, some people think kind of find it offensive, but we think it's just clean, fun humor. But, you know, I guess it's just relative to the individual. But we try to keep our posts, you know, in line with LDS standards.
Do you get a lot of people that are or I guess I shouldn't say a lot of people, but some people that have been really fired up about some of the stuff?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, if you put any kind of if you ever try to post any kind of funny caption on general authorities, yeah, people like go nuts over that. And so it's, I mean, I find it humorous. I think it's all in good fun, but yeah, that's some of the things that we kind of get a little bit of backlash on. So
no bubble quotes around President Monson. Okay.
I mean the last one, you know, that we posted on with, you know, President Udorf talking about, you know, not gossiping and stop it. You know, we just kind of made a play on that with Facebook requests, you know, or Facebook game requests. And, you know, we just thought it was kind of a fun little humorous post, and apparently it wasn't all that humorous for some people. But, I mean, for the vast majority of people, you know, they understand and they think it's funny, but there's always the minority that kind of maybe are a little uptight with that kind of stuff.
How do you deal with that?
Well, it depends. I mean, it depends on kind of how they approach us about it. But if they're kind of being overly obnoxious, we just kind of ignore them, you know. But, you know, if there's a genuine concern, sometimes we kind of talk to them and see why they were, you know, were kind of offended by it. But, I mean, for the most part, you know, we just kind of ignore it. So,
has there ever been anything that you've put up that you've then taken down?
Yeah. You know, sometimes, you know, when we see something that we kind of find humorous, but once we post it, you know, you usually can see that within like the first 5 minutes in terms of how people are responding to it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then sometimes we, you know, in hindsight, we're like, well, maybe we shouldn't do this. It might be a little bit crossing that line. So, but I would say for the most part, I mean, that's only happened a few times, but I think for the most part, especially now that we have a lot more followers and fans on the page. I mean, it used to be like the second we saw something funny, we just posted right away without even thinking about it. But now we're a little bit more careful in what we post.
How often do you post?
Quite a bit, probably. On our Facebook page, we We probably average, you know, 7 to 8 posts a day.
Mm-hmm. And then on the website itself?
That kind of depends. But usually we'll post one or two posts a day on the website. And usually on the website we just kind of compile all the various photos into one category. And so we'll buy one post that we'll have, you know, it's a combination of, you know, 6 to 8 posts. So.
Have you had experiences where people have written you guys and said, hey, you know what, I really appreciated whatever this picture was or whatever this quote was, and maybe something that you could share?
We actually had one just last Friday that sent us an email, and she was, there's a lady that she was just, I guess her and her family have just been inactive for the last few years, but just in general, the post, especially, she stated, like, more of the motivational and kind of inspirational posts that we made, kind of made her realize how much she actually misses the church. And so she actually just started going back to church over there in Alabama. So it was, it was kind of a neat experience just recently with that.
It's a pretty awesome experience to not only be able to laugh and to have those, you know, inspirational moments, but to know that it's actually changing or has the potential to change someone's life. It's pretty awesome, but also a lot of responsibility for sure.
Yeah, no kidding, yeah.
So what's the future? You said maybe you'd like to do the podcast again. You've got the website that's now kind of relaunched, the LDSSmile.com. You got your Facebook page. Do you have other things for the future?
Yeah, I mean, the podcast may come back.
Come on, we got it. We'll take care of that. I told you.
Yeah, but one of the things that we were thinking about maybe doing, because you know, a lot of times we'll kind of throw out there on our Facebook page and our website and kind of see what some of the features or some of the things that the fans would like. And a lot of the things, you know, because it is kind of catered towards the youth, a lot of them have stated that they would like to have kind of like a social activity type deal, so like a dance or some kind of a LDS event. And so we're actually thinking about, probably at least not until next summer, but thinking about organizing kind of an event like that.
A chance for people to fellowship, for sure. That's an awesome thing. You'll have to keep in touch with me. I might be interested in sponsoring that along with you.
Oh, yeah, that'd be awesome.
So it's LDSSmile.com or go to Facebook.com/, is it LDSSmile or just search it there on Facebook?
Yeah, you can just search LDSSmile, but if it's Facebook.com/LDS.smile.
Okay. Does that mean anything, or where did you get smile from?
That actually came from my mission president's wife. She was kind of sharing a scripture in 2 Nephi chapter 9 that talks about being spiritually minded is life eternal, which would be the acronym for smile. And so that's where we kind of, when we were trying to think of a name for the site and podcast, that's where we kind of pulled that from.
So it's John and Kara Hunninghouse. It's the LDSSmile.com. Check them out on Facebook. Do you guys tweet too, or is that not something?
Yeah, we actually just barely started that about a week ago. Our Twitter handle is LDSSmileJ. You can find us there.
All right. I appreciate you taking a little time in the cultural hall. Let me ask you this before I let you go. What is your favorite part of your faith?
I think my favorite part of my faith is kind of the introspection of, you know, thinking about, the purpose of life, you know, and why we're here, and that it gives me a reason to do the things that I do. And I think as I continue to go to church and study the doctrine, that, you know, it's very fulfilling in that sense. So.
Then let me ask you one. I said one more question, and this is the last one. Have you ever listened to any of the Cultural Hall?
I'm almost a lifer. I'm still a convert.
Really?
So I listened to probably about 38 of the podcast so far. So.
Do you have a favorite episode?
Yeah, actually, I mean, they're all pretty good.
Thank you.
But I think, honestly, one of my favorites, because it's kind of done a lot of a paradigm shift, was the podcast with Mitch Main. So
that's episode 13 and 14 for people who want to go back and listen to that on John's recommendation.
So yeah, cool. It was good.
I appreciate you taking a few minutes to be with us.
Hey, no problem. Thank you for inviting us.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
All right, and joining me right now here in the Cultural Hall, I guess he's not technically in the Cultural Hall. I shouldn't
you know, perpetuate that lie. He's in Morgan, Utah. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct. I'm here in the small town of Morgan, Utah, just over the mountain from where you're at.
For people who don't know where Morgan is, imagine nowhere, then go a couple miles further, and that's Morgan, Utah.
That's right. If you go a couple miles further, you fall off the earth.
Yeah, but there's sheep in Morgan, and that's nice.
That is true. That is true.
Ron is the creator of FamousMormons.net. And I think this is exciting because this is actually the first kind of Mormon-themed website that I ever became familiar with. And
yeah,
so,
in fact, I apologize. I interrupted you there,
no,
Richie.
You're fine, you're fine.
As you're telling me, I did start it quite a long time ago, clear back in 1995, so it's been around forever. So it would be one of the first ones that a number of people have seen for the first time, you know, that's having to do with the church.
What are some of the other contemporaries of your time? Obviously, there's things that the church did, LDS.org and all that stuff. I'm not talking about that, those types of things. I'm talking about other stuff. Do you know some other ones from your time?
Boy, you know what? I don't. But the church had an early version. You know, they came out early. They knew the importance of the internet. But I started this, clear back, like I said, in 95. It was a very basic website at first. It's still, if you look at it, it's
still
kind of
basic,
but yeah. It kind of keeps it fun.
And what made you want to do it? Why Famous Mormons?
Yeah, there's a couple reasons for that. One, I went on my mission 100 years ago, clear back in 78 to 80, to Anaheim, California. And when I was there, every ward I went to, they would say, well, that person's kid had his hand in a commercial this weekend, or, you know, someone in the ward's sister is the voice of Wilma on the Flintstones, or, you know, it just would go on. And so it was a big fascination with people in California, and I'd never really thought of it. Then a few years passed, I came home, got married, and had a child there too, you know, and then...
And your kid was
actually,
famous, right?
I actually got married real fast, and I had children.
Yeah.
But I saw a Time Magazine article, and then, you know, just before I came up with this idea, in fact, that's what pushed me to it, and it was, and I can't remember the title of it, but it was something like Famous Jewish People, or Famous Jews, and of course, that's fascinating, you know, all the things that they've accomplished, and and I thought, I could do that with our church. And sure enough, I went with it, and it's been growing ever since. It started out, of course, very, very low because, you know, it was before the Google was popular and that type of thing. And now it's really grown.
So for people that don't know, FamousMormons.net, tell them what it is.
Yes, it is a site that... that I have put together that you can go and see if someone is a Mormon that I have titled famous. For example, Richie Stedman is on there because he's famous.
Oh, stop it.
Right. And it's a lot of fun. For example, one of the first pictures you see on there is Billy Barty, you know, the little person that was an actor. People will type in fact, I can see sometimes if I go to a certain page here on the analytics to see what they type in, they could put, is Billy Barty a Mormon? That'll lead them to my site. And it's, I don't judge people. You can see some of them are inactive or may not be the best Mormons. I get some emails that tell me that I should take Harry Reid off. In fact, I get quite a lot of those.
Oh, geez.
And I'm not going to take him off, so...
I love that people would do that. Oh, you should take him off. There's no way he can be Mormon.
They give me reasons and stuff. And I even, somewhere in here, I put, I'm not a judge. I'm just, you know, if they have said that they're members and admit to it, I will put them on there.
So that's it. So as far as the qualification to be famous, though, where do you draw the line there?
I've actually not put a few people who have said they're famous just because they had a... Heck, I have a book out, you know, a few years ago called Famous Mormons, and I'm not on there, you know, other than the creator.
Mm-hmm.
But it's someone who is popular enough to be known by many people. For example, let's use you as an example. Thousands a day listen to you on the radio.
Okay.
Many thousands. You know, you're well known in our area and throughout the world as people, you know, listen to podcasts and so on. Of course, anyone who makes it to the to Congress, I put in here. Anyone who's been in a movie, I don't, I haven't put, I could probably spread authors out quite a lot more because there's, you know, people have written so many books who are members.
And they don't even necessarily have to be good books, I noticed on a couple of these.
Yes, that is correct. Yes, in fact, that's one reason I didn't put mine on there. Because
Come on now.
Yeah.
One of the things,
in fact,
that,
to give you an idea, I put my book out, and you know, I'm still working full time plus doing the website, so it shows how good my book did. You know, I made a lot of money on that. You know, at least a few hundred dollars.
You just take it to pay for tithing every year, right? That's book money,
fact,
is tithing money.
That actually gets down to what I use this website for, and that's part of it. Is I do have some ads on there, kind of like you do on the Culture Hall.
Uh-huh.
It helps pay for it each month, plus, and like you said, it brings a little extra money. So it's not coming 10% out of my work pay, my day job. I can use some of this to go towards that.
Let's talk about that. How many people on an average month go to famousmormons.net?
Let me go to a page right now as we're talking. Mm-hmm. So far this month, I've had 147,000.
Oh, my gosh.
That's how many page views. Now, from that, it goes up and down. And in fact, since we were speaking of your radio show here in Salt Lake, uh-huh, earlier, when you guys happen to mention it, if you say famousmormons.net, it will jump from, say, 6,000 page views a day to sometimes 11,000.
Oh,
you know, and plus my phone starts ringing saying you're being talked about right now. You know, so it is growing quite a lot. A few years ago when I wrote the book, it was a million hits a day, a year, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's, you know, we're going to reach 2 months here, not coming up.
So
it's really grown because of the Mormon moment, as they call it also.
Is there one person in particular that gets searched the most?
Let me actually go into that right now. Right now, a lot of them are, for example, looking at my analytics page right now, it says this is what they've put in Google or other search engines. Somebody put Mormon war heroes, and someone put Mormons in military service.
Uh-huh.
Someone else put, do Mormons serve in the military? So military is a big one right now. Today, for some reason, somebody may have wrote an article or mentioned on the radio or TV somewhere. So that's, they're searching that one right now.
Okay.
Now, the other day, some football players were being viewed, and then you'll have, of course, basketball players. Often Glenn Beck is often looked at on there. Even though they know he's a Mormon, they can go there for more information.
Hmm. And so what's the plan for it? Just keep doing it how it is? I know someone that I mentioned, hey, we're talking to famousmormons.net, and he was like, tell him to get a new website.
That's what my son actually told me. He's a computer nerd.
Uh-huh.
I'm kind of an old computer, I should say. He's an IT guy, but he says, you know, make it a little more fancier and stuff. Let's put all these JavaScripts in there. And I said, well, actually, and I'm certainly not tying it in with this, but it's like the Drudge Report. You know, how basic is that site?
Yeah.
And how easy is that to go to and click on something and find it? With mine, I do need to put some more search and so on, but I know very basics about HTML, as you can see, but it works on computers and on your smartphones and so on and tablets. So that is helpful to have it that way. It's not too complicated. I get frustrated when I go on some and it takes a minute to go through the start page because it's, you know, all kinds of graphics and everything loading.
Let me ask you, if it stopped making any money and it didn't cost you any money, would you keep doing it?
Yes, I sure would. I would keep doing it. And the reason is, like I said, I served a mission a long time ago. And it's funny, I served in California where, oops, sorry about that. I turned off a car that was making noise of my granddaughter's, and it was singing to us in the background, so I had to turn it off.
That had to be good.
Okay, so I served my mission, and when I was there, I was in Huntington Beach, California, and, you know, had Knott's Berry Farm on our ward, and all these great places. Now I think as an older person thinking, what a great place that was. And when I was there, I was miserable a lot of the times, thinking, I'm homesick, I want to go home. And I don't think I did as good a job as a missionary that I could, though I had some success. And now I look at this as a missionary tool also. And that's the first. In fact, right now, if the people who put ads on my site said, we're done, I would keep it up. And I would keep working on it.
Yeah.
And it, in a way, it's missionary work is important to me. I didn't enjoy when I was out on the mission because of the numbers being pushed and that type of thing. But this, I can do it on my own and then slowly hear from people. About 2 years ago, well, it's been maybe 4 years ago, I had someone come up to me after I taught Elders Quorum, a gentleman in the quorum, and said, your site is the first one I went to before I joined the church. He says that your site led me to the missionaries, because if you type in Mormons, for example, I come up high on Google search, you know, because I've been around so long now.
So it's interesting, though, at the bottom of your site, and I just barely noticed this. I'd never noticed it before, but you have all sorts of links to what Mormons believe.
Yes, I've actually created some, and some of those are ones that came from, now, I'm going to say FAIR, but I can't remember if they were from the FAIR website or some, but over the years, some people have sent me some websites, basically, something you would use on a blog or something. And I decided to put those on here and put it, the link, for example, one of them's Mormonism, one of them's Holy Ghost. And in fact, the one that's the most popular is the one about missionaries. I don't see it right here right now, but it's when someone puts in, tell me about Mormon missionaries or something, they'll end up on this site. And it's a basic one, just tells them the basics, but then they can, it will lead them to the church site.
What's the oddest question you've got through your website?
Oh, about who are Mormons. I get, in fact, there's the infamous Mormons. In fact, I received an email today about that, but there's one about celebrities rumored to be Mormons.
Okay.
And
like Steve
I
Martin,
still
obviously.
Receive ones that are way, way crazy. You know,
like what?
I'm trying to remember now the ones on the site that I've heard the most of, but that I actually had to put on here because so many people were asking, was Tom Hanks.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, that got out, and part of it's because of his, I guess the family was somehow tied into the church somewhere, but some people thought that Larry King was, mm-hmm. who of course is not, but his wife that he has now is. I get emails often about rock stars, then I just, sometimes people I don't even know, I haven't heard of, so I just go into Google and search for it. Every once in a while I get lucky and find out that they are members and put them in. But I can't think of anybody specifically that people have asked for. Of course, they still bring up, this is kind of on the different side, but they'll ask me about Randy Bachman and some of those who have left the church.
And who is Randy Bachman? I'm sorry that I don't know who that
is. Little section there about that in there, about the ones who are no longer members.
And do you ever try and research more about them? Do some information, or do you just take it from what people tell you?
No, in fact, I do have to research them. What happened is, or one of the reasons I do that is probably 15 years ago, it's been a dozen to 15 years ago, I put someone on there, his brother wrote to me and says he is a scientist, astronomer, excuse me, at, I believe he said BYU, and he's found four galaxies. He is so well known, and here's his information, sent me his picture, and I put it on my science page, and it stayed there for about a year, and I can't recall his name right now.
Mm-hmm.
I received an email from the same brother about a year later. He goes, I hope you don't hate me for this, but can you take my brother off? That was a joke on my side.
Ugh.
We wanted to have him on as Famous Mormons. And he's tired of getting called to do firesides.
Oh, Jesus.
Because he says he can barely find his way, I forget what he told me, find his way to St. George, let alone find galaxies, you know, millions of miles, billions of miles away.
Oh, jeez.
Whenever someone writes me, I do Google it, I search for it, unless it's the person themselves. Sometimes I do hear from those who are well-known.
That say, hey, I should be up there? Hey, why am I not
yes.
up there?
Yeah, in fact, and that's one thing for everyone to know. Richie did not ask himself. You know, they were giving him a hard time about being that he should be on the page, and I heard that and added him. But there are a few that say, not to boast about myself, but here's what I've done. And I have added a few of those.
Cool.
And I've had a few rejections also.
Like who?
I wrote to a weather girl back east, and I can't remember her name right now, and I probably shouldn't say it if I did, but I emailed her. I try to email them before, try to get a hold of them, but they don't say a lot online about being a member. If they brag about it or say good things, then I'll add them. But I wrote to her and she says, no, I'm a member, but don't put that on there. I don't want people to know. Like it was going to hurt her job or something, you know, her career.
Interesting.
So there's a few like that.
Okay, real
but
quick.
Mostly, 99.9% of them are just happy as can be. And I hear from many of them. Not that I'm, and realize I'm not one that chases these people. I haven't met personally, virtually, well, none of them. Heck, I haven't met you, you know, and you're one of the top ones too.
Stop
you
it.
You know, one of the most famous.
Stop it. Ron, it's famousmormons.net. Tell me your favorite part of your faith.
The favorite part of my faith, did you say?
Yes.
Yes, sorry, I should be ready for that on this program, shouldn't I, on your podcast. The most important part of my faith is knowing that we're going to live again. I have had the general authorities use the term a witness, and I've had that for life after this life, that they're... I have a witness that there is life after this. I could go in detail at some other time or with someone, but I can absolutely guarantee that that happens. That's something that we teach. And it also ties in with the preexistence of what I believe, which, you know, a lot of religions don't preach that or teach it, but we do. So it starts from preexistence to the afterlife and everything in between.
Cool. The website is famousmormons.net. Check it out. Thanks for spending a little time with me, Ron.
Well, thank you. It's been my pleasure. I appreciate it very much.
All right. So I'll stop recording now.
Sidewinder Media was named as one of Utah's top photographers by In This Week magazine and is a winner of several awards for fine art, portrait, and event photography. Sidewinder Media has been professionally photographing everything from wildlife to headshots for over 10 years. Sidewinder Media has the experience and the knowledge to capture your special occasion or portrait the way you want it. They also film and edit music or product videos and do simple ads for Facebook or websites. Email them at sidewindermedia@gmail.com or call Rusty at 801-941-5576 to book your shoot today.
Hey, it's me, Richie T. Want to take a second and tell you about my buddy Dylan over at Lennon Design. Go to LennonDesign.com to see some of the stuff that he's done. Or, you know what, better yet, go to theculturalhall.com and look at all the graphic stuff that we have there at that website. You know who's done that? Dylan at Lennon Design. He's offering a special deal for people in the Cultural Hall, a 10% discount. You know why it's 10%, right? And all you have to do is just give him a call, 801-699-3022. Any sort of graphic artwork or website design that you might need, give him a call. Think about Lennon Design. You know, they sponsor your favorite podcast.
That's right. It's an episode of the Cultural Hall here where we focus on teenagers who are doing awesome things. And on the phone with me from Pasadena, California is Sage Hatch. Thank you for joining me.
No problem.
And we got this story, Sage. I want to let you know. There's a friend of ours who lives out in California who writes for Mormon Media Reviews. And he shared on the Cultural Hall's Facebook page. He said, hey, here's a story that a friend had on their wall. Maybe you should check it out. And then it goes into, and the headline is, Modesty is Sibling to Cuss-Free Lifestyle at South Pasadena High. And that's from the Pasadena Star News. And that, to me, didn't make any sense. The headline didn't make any sense. So I clicked through, and it's a story about you at your school. You're starting a modesty club. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay, so let's go there. Why do you need a modesty club?
I really feel like girls are not... They need to... I wanted to bring awareness more to modesty, and I felt like girls were just... They forgot about what modesty is, and they just really need to cover up and be more modest.
Okay. Like, so are you talking about things like bare midriff kind of stuff, or are you talking about like too short of skirts, or what kind of stuff are you talking about?
Like both of those things. And like cover your shoulders and like shorts, like the church standards and everything like that.
And when you say the LDS, when you say the church standards, you mean the LDS church standards?
Yeah.
So let me ask you this though, because I know that at least my middle school and my high school, we had a dress code. Does your dress code not enforce the modesty?
Well, yeah, they don't really enforce it. The principal always has it in... tries to tell the girls, but then they just don't enforce it, and that really bothers me, and I really wanted to take a stand like my brother did.
Okay. Let's talk about that a little bit. So I remember kind of hearing about what your brother, his name is McKay, is that right?
Yes.
And about 4 years ago, if I remember the story right, in 2008, he came up with the idea that he wanted to do a no cussing club, and it got national attention.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about what that club was.
He really wanted to bring awareness to language, and from elementary school to middle school, he really felt like his friends were cussing, and he just wanted to, there was more cussing, and he wanted to bring awareness to that,
mm-hmm.
and it just really bothered him, so, yeah.
So what is it, like with modesty, I mean, I understand with cussing, and I also, obviously, as a member of the church, understand with modesty, but what is it about you that... that bothers you when other girls, and we shouldn't forget the guys too, because guys can dress immodestly. What is it about that bothers you?
I just want them to respect their bodies, because God gave us our bodies as a gift, and the way that we dress is a gift back to God.
Do you get a lot of people saying, I mean, what are people that are against this, what have they been saying to you?
Well, not too many people are like saying anything, but they're, like when I did Club Rush, some people were kind of like laughing and stuff, but there hasn't been too much negative so far, which is good.
Yeah, it's always good. Sometimes, though, a little controversy kind of helps fire up the one side, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you've got this club. How many people signed up at Club Rush?
About like 17.
Okay, cool. And how big a school is South Pasadena High School?
There's like six.
So that's... that's like 1%. Is that right? No, that's not even 1%. Right? That's like 0.1%. Is that right? Yeah, some quick math. So what's the deal then? How come more people aren't getting on board with this?
I feel like they just don't want to follow the dress code, and they just want to... And a lot of girls just think, oh, I'm immodest, so I can't join it. But I'm just trying to tell them this isn't the perfect club, and it's just to try to be better and to wear a little longer dress or skirt the next day, or just... be better every day.
Has it ever been a temptation for you to want to wear something that maybe doesn't fit to the standards of the church?
I never wanted to, because I just really, I like being modest, and it makes me feel more confident, and I feel like I have more respect for myself and others when I dress modestly.
Nice. Who was it that taught you about modesty? Was it the church or your parents?
My mom was my biggest example, and because she taught me, of course, the LDS standards, and I really feel like she... help me to understand the importance of modesty.
So when people are talking to you about it at school, I mean, how do you explain it? If a non-member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints came up and said, you know what, come on, level with me here, Sage. What's the deal with this modesty club? What would you say to them?
I just tell them, like, to bring awareness to modesty, and to really just try to cover up to respect your bodies. And I just, like... try to just tell them, you don't have to do this, but I just want to bring awareness so that people remember, be more modest.
Do you think it's hard to be a teenage kid today?
Yeah, sometimes, because people are getting a little crazier. I don't know. It's hard sometimes.
Do you, I mean, let's talk about some other stuff, because I have a, my kid is in eighth grade.
Okay.
Is that right? No, he's in ninth grade. I'm sorry. That's embarrassing. My kid is in ninth grade. He just started, so I feel like I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
you know, there are tons of pressures between not only like what you're doing with modesty, but things like cussing, like your brother took on, but also things with, you know, cell phones and text messages and things with the internet. How do you as a young, Latter-day Saint, how do you avoid all that stuff? That's gotta be hard.
Well, sorry. Is the question like, how do I avoid?
Yeah, I mean, well, because there's just so much coming at you. How do you stay strong and you know, keep doing what you know you should be doing? Because it's not the easiest way.
Yeah. I just keep, like, I know that God will help me through this, and I just keep praying and reading my scriptures and doing what I know is right, and then I know that God will help me through anything that I need.
Do you have some pretty cool young women's leaders?
Yeah, they're awesome.
Would you be willing to share maybe an experience of something that they taught you about?
Let's see.
I know, I kind of put you on the spot there. I'm sorry.
It's okay. They always, like, told us to be modest, and, like, I think we probably had a lesson on modesty, and they want us to be modest, too, and I know that's why also I want to be modest by my mom and their examples, too.
Nice. Is everybody that has signed up for the Modesty Club... Are they all LDS that you're aware of, or are there people of various faiths that have signed up for it?
There's some LDS, and there's some other people that aren't LDS too.
And do you think that that's going to be an opportunity for you to be able to share not only your beliefs about modesty, but about the church? Or are you do you kind of just separate it and say, hey, this is just about modesty, and that's what I want to focus on?
It would be a really good opportunity to teach about the church, too, and about everything, too. So I feel like I would like to do that, too.
Have you ever had an opportunity where you have shared the gospel with someone that isn't a member of the church?
Yeah, I have.
What was that like?
It was like at first it was a little nerve-wracking, but then I prayed and I know God helped me to know what I needed to say to them.
Yeah? What made you so nervous about it?
I don't know. I just like the fear, like, because of course Satan doesn't want you to preach the gospel to anyone. So basically it's fear, but I need to move through that and have the faith.
Are they pretty good friends of you, or was it just someone that you knew at school? What was the situation?
It was actually in fifth grade when I give a Book of Mormon to one of the yard duties.
I don't know what that is.
It's like a person who watches the kids at lunchtime.
Oh, okay, okay.
Everything, and then I gave her a Book of Mormon, and I just shared my testimony.
Like written down, or did you actually tell her your testimony?
I told it to her.
Oh my gosh, that's pretty awesome.
Thanks.
Did she end up taking the discussions, or what happened with it from there?
Nothing really happened, but I know that that's what I needed to do, so.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And I know, yeah, I mean, like you say, like, there's definitely that fear that comes about it, because it's like, hey, you know what, I should be sharing this.
Yeah.
Oh, here goes, what happens? I don't know how this is going to happen, here we go, and then there you have it. Now, I want to go back talking a little bit, because I want to know, so your brother did the whole no cussing club.
Yeah.
And got huge national attention. Do you think that that has anything to do with why you want to do a modesty club?
Well, I really felt like I wanted to take a stand like my brother, and I really felt like that's what I needed to do, and this was my mission that God prepared me to do, so, yeah.
And I know with the no cussing club that there was, like, assemblies, and, you know, I just watched a clip just a minute ago when he was on the Jay Leno show.
Yeah.
I mean, is there plans to take it to that level? Obviously, Leno would have to invite you, but I mean to the point of like an educational program and assemblies and those things?
Yeah, I would really love to do that. And also, my brother made a website, my brother Shane, and we did a pledge that people take before when they sign up, and also a... Let me see, one second. And also a Modesty Club challenge, and if you would like me to, I could send that over to you.
Sure. I've been to modestyclub.com. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
And I love some of these things here, too. If you go to modestyclub.com, for people that are listening, that you have Modesty Club standards, and I think some of these are kind of fun. There's also a couple of spelling errors that I wanted to...
Okay,
just make sure you go through and check those out. But I wanted to share these with people. It says Modesty Club Standards. First of all, did you write these?
My friend Autumn did.
Okay, cool. She says, if it's too tight, it's not quite right. Okay, I get it. It's best to flirt in a knee-length skirt, which I thought was awesome. But by far, kind of the boldest one that I like that also I think is kind of funny is... shoulders and boulders are graciously covered. And I was like, you know, at first I was like, whoa, is that too? No, that is exactly the way that it needs to be said. So people get exactly what it is that they need to do. But the one that I had questions in here is it says, vertical lines are warning signs. I don't get what that means.
It's like when you have too low of a shirt or pants. And so we're saying, like, to keep that covered.
Oh, I get it. I didn't get it before, but okay. And then you're like, well, because what it is, I know, don't be embarrassed. We'll go on. I'm embarrassed actually more now that I didn't get it.
Okay.
It says, the next one, clean and neat, catched the eyes on the street. And that's one that you got to fix because catched isn't a word.
Okay, thanks.
And then finally it says, when I pass this test, I'll be dressed for success. So people can check that out. It's modestyclub.com, and you can go there, you can join the club, you do your name, your email, and the state that you're from, and their mission statement is to empower... Whoa, is that me or is that you?
I don't know.
I don't think that's
on there. Oh,
sorry. Oh, you're fine. The mission statement is to empower men and women and boys and girls in the highest quality of self-esteem. I appreciate you being able to be here in this, in the cultural hall with us. Have you ever heard of this before?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Well, let me tell you a little bit.
Guys, stop! Okay.
He'll figure it out here in a minute. There we go. You're fine. There we go. If you go to theculturalhall.com, you can also find us on Facebook.
Sorry, my brother's on the other phone.
You're fine. You can find us on Facebook, and we do all sorts of posts about different things that are going on within Mormon culture. And then twice a week, we post a podcast episode where we visit with people that have to do with the Mormon church. So you can check that out. Sometimes we do famous Mormons, and sometimes we do topics within the church.
Cool.
So I encourage you to check that out. And it's just theculturalhall.com. And then you can like us and you can follow it and get it on iTunes and tell your friends, okay?
Yeah, I will.
All right, appreciate it. It's Sage Hatch. Is that right?
Yes.
And you can go to modestyclub.com if you want to sign up for the Modesty Club. Give them their information there. Thank you so much for being in the Cultural Hall. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you.
You bet. Bye-bye.